Now that the Honourable Member, Dr. Dion George, has arrived, the one we so dearly miss, and we can't proceed without him, has arrived. We didn't want to apologize to start the meeting without you. Okay. Yeah. Now, Honourable Members, I guess there is some indication of members getting a little bit exhausted. They've been running a very long race. It's a marathon, not 100 meters. But the coming few weeks still going to be a little bit tough. But I think on our part as the Standing Committee on Finance, we have been able to manage our business in such a way that it also gives us the opportunity to do other party and political work. We have got this piece of legislation that we've been dealing with for quite some time, and I think if truth be told, we have taken a lot of time on this pieces of legislation that we have to consider today and probably give them the go-ahead so that we can do what we're supposed to do probably before the end of the year on some of these issues. If not, make sure that nothing lapses in the process. Now, we've got two items here. Time allocation is almost an hour on each, 9:45 to 10:45. It's committee deliberation and consideration on the committee report on the Taxation Laws Amendment Bill, TLAB, as it is commonly known. So I thought we should start with this business, and then later on we'll then take our deliberation as a committee of the report on the tax administration bill. I think that's the business of today. Honorable Goranoff, Nick Goranoff, has indicated that you would need to be released. He has a meeting that he chairs, probably in the Speaker's Forum, something like that. If it's about the wine committee, make sure that you approve my membership. Okay. Yeah. Honorable members, these are the two issues, but let's start with the TLAB. Let's take comments, and if there are any other issues that we still want to raise around this particular matter, this is the opportunity we have. But what is of critical importance is to make sure that we also don't delay the process. Thank you. Any comments on Onyambos? We welcome you too, Honorable Mteto. I saw you coming in some time ago, but you faded as you were approaching the chair. Thank you. Comments? Honorable Mteto?
Chair. The fact that we have deliberated with this matter for so long now, and I've been going through some of the issues that it has captured the our last discussion as well. I think, Chair, without further ado to this document, one, we would like to say, if we move the whole document for adoption today, so that we can concentrate on the other issues.
Thank you. Honourable Goranov.
Chairperson, can I just... I just would like to have finality on Section 45. Where do we stand now? Because, you know, there were so many things that happened since this was published, and then there was an announcement by the minister, and where do we stand now with Section 45? I just would like to know that, because this was, unfortunately, it took about 60% of our time at the public hearings, and because of that, we have not attended to many of the other issues in this bill. So I differ a little bit with the honourable previous member, Member Mtweta, that I don't think we have used so many hours on this bill, and Section 45 consumed lots of our time on this issue.
Thank you, Chair. I do understand what Honourable Koranov is saying, but can he really assist us? Because as far as Section 45, we did deal with Section 45. It was even on the 90th Street. We went on talking about Section 45. What are these issues that are making the Honourable Member uncomfortable? Can we all understand them? Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I'm not uncomfortable. I was very happy with the last announcement by the Minister. What I'm just asking, what is the final version? Is it in this document? How? I just want to see the section now.
You didn't have the opportunity to go through the documentation, Honorable Goranov. Page maybe let me just page 27 of the draft. The responses. Chairperson, just to assist you, you know, this document on page 55. My only question is, this section 45, is that now the amended version as announced? That's the only question, because unfortunately I do not have the original version of it.
Yes, it is. Honourable Judge.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the crux of the question, as I understand it from Honourable Kuhnhoff, is to say that there were some concerns that we had about Section 45. And the concerns we had about Section 45 is that it would really impede the merger and acquisition activity of corporate South Africa, because, you know, there were some loopholes that needed to be closed. And then there was the so-called moratorium on this thing that was then subsequently lifted because there was tightening up of the rules. The SAR and National Treasury needed to look at transactions and classify them as red and amber and green, you know, to make sure that this was not abused.
So I think the question is, and it's as a committee that the question to us is, are we satisfied that that loophole has been sorted out without killing the, you know, the activity, you know, in the process? And I think that's the question from Honourable Kuhnhoff. And the way I understand it is the answer may well be yes, that it has been resolved. But I think what his question is in the wording of the Act, are we satisfied that that is the case? And I don't know whether we might need some expert, you know, input, maybe, perhaps, from the Treasury to guide us, Chair. Thank you.
Well, I've been trying to check as to whether we should allow them to comment on this matter. And for the sake of progress, I'm going to allow Thomas to deal with this particular matter. This is your baby.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure if members have the revised response document, which deals with the issues on pages 49 through to 55. But essentially what's happened is the moratorium has indeed been lifted. There's a new Section 23K which comes into play. And what 23K does is it limits the interest deductions for the suspect transactions unless you get approval from SARS. And the idea behind the approval from SARS is then to measure the loss to the fiscus. This is a temporary measure. It only runs through until 2013. At which point permanent rules are intended to be introduced, which would then, because at the moment there is an element of discretion on the approval, which we prefer not to be in the business of looking at all the merger and large mergers and acquisitions. But again, given the risk to the fiscus there, this was the compromise which was proposed and which I thought found general favour from the various participants. As far as the approvals are concerned, clearly this isn't legislation yet, but in order to assist taxpayers who are in process, we have already started informal discussions with them if they are in a merger situation so they can get a sense of comfort of, as to how we would see it were the legislation to be passed.
Farm Brian?
I just wanted to check what is the threshold limit that is for those who qualify or maybe who must go through that the cited process. Because I think that will assist us then to check how severe is this whole intervention.
Chair, through you. There is no specific RAND threshold, but we classify the various kinds of transactions. So that the kinds of transactions which appear into groups do not require approval. Where we start seeing external debt being introduced, either directly or indirectly into the transaction, then approval is required.
Can we proceed? Honorable Goranoff?
Chairperson, 23K, I don't see that in this amendment bill. And what I just want to ask, you know, maybe somewhere else, can I ask the original 45, what you're saying is you've introduced 23K, lifting the moratorium, but the original 45, there was no amendments. As published, it will go through like that in this bill. But because of 23K, everybody is comfortable.
What was proposed originally was the moratorium. What we is now proposed is, in fact, a slight relaxation in some areas in 45. Have a look at that section. We now permit preference shares to be used in certain circumstances where we didn't previously. But as the backstop to 45 coming back, being left in operation, 23 comes in, and 23K sits on page 59 of the book. You'll see it there.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Satisfied? Good. Any other comment, honorable members? Madam Mayor?
think that some clarities have been made. Can I then second the adoption of the report of the amendment, the appeal?
The adoption of the bill with amendments. No amendments. That is moved by Honorable Mteto. He seems not to be aware.
Chairperson, the Democratic Alliance will reserve its position. Our regular person. Thanks, Chair.
You know, Honorable Judge, when we started our work in this committee, we worked so well.
And you were so sweet.
He was not sweet. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But we worked so well until this shadow minister position. I think it is an accepted practice. But as the committee, we have moved and seconded the adoption of the bill. Can I read it for record purposes? Make sure that I've got the right papers. I mustn't read the wrong ones. Honorable members, the Standing Committee on Finance, I need to just make sure that it's on record. Report of the Standing Committee on Finance on the Taxation Laws Amendment Bill, B19/2011, National Assembly Section 77, dated 09/11/2011. The Standing Committee on Finance, having considered and examined the Taxation Laws Amendment Bill, B19/2011, National Assembly Section 77, referred to it and classified by the JTM as money bill, reports that it is agreed to the bill. Agreed? Thank you. The second one is the Standing Committee on Finance. Having considered and examined the Taxation Laws Second Amendment Bill B20/2011, Section 75 of the National Assembly, referred to it and classified by JTM as Section 75 Bill, reports the bill without amendments. Agreed, Honorable Members? Move and second.
Chairperson, as above, we will reserve our position.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
All right. Madam?
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of the
bill. Seconda?
Seconded by Suzanne Shamini.
Thank you. Now we move into the second item of our agenda, which is the deliberations of the committee on the Tax Administration Bill, commonly known as TAB. Similarly, we have been interacting with this piece of proposed legislation. And I think National Treasury and SARS people have been towing and froing between us, stakeholders, and ourselves. There are quite a number of amendments which have been effected on this particular bill. And I just want to check if there's any other comment from the side of honorable members so that we can be able to focus on our business for the day. Honourable George, I can see your hand.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, thank you. I got the amendments, and I see that, you know, the ones in red. So there are a lot of changes that we had proposed. So, yes, thank you for that. Particularly with the secondment of staff to the Ombudsman, I see that that's been changed around, and it's in consultation, and it's requested by the Ombud, etc. So it seems to be fine. But there was one thing that I couldn't seem to find here, is that there was concern over the search and seizure without warrant. And we had a long debate about this. We got an opinion on the constitutionality from Budlender, etc. But the one thing I remember quite clearly is, well, certainly my view was that we need to make sure that there was some kind of a balance. So I know there's a report that's going to come annually to this committee, the Tax Ombuds Report, and I'm sure it will talk about any of this. But the thing is, when there has been a search and seizure without a warrant, there had to be some kind of a review or a balance or a something. And I'm not sure whether that actually is here, but I can't seem to find anything particular about it, unless it's just, you know, too obscure. But that's my concern, is that, you know, if there's a lot of the search and seizure without warrant going on, you know, what is the balance, you know, so how does that work? I don't know if somebody else might have an idea. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Mazamin will be followed by Nick Koronov. Honourable Koronov.
Thank you, Chair. No, with the search and seizure, I remember that our main concern was about a wedding of a senior official. And I'm trying to get now through here. I don't know if Chair, we can be helped by the page, because I don't see the amendment thereof.
I mean, Nick Koronov.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want, I remember that the legal or the tax practitioners were really campaigning to see whether, when they consult with a client, that it is privileged and that it cannot be used in a court of law, you know, against such a client when it starts in terms of the legislation. Now, I just want to know whether there was a change like that, and whether it is only still privileged when there was consultations with a lawyer. I can't find it so quickly. I just want to know whether you amended that. I hope not so, but I just want to make sure that was.
Mazamin?
Thank you, Chair. No, I realize that what was the main concern about a definition of a senior SAS official conducting the search without warrant has been changed, and there are changes, so I do agree with that the changes are satisfactory, what the committee recommended. The search official must, before carrying out search, inform the owner or a person in control of the premises. Thank you, Chair.
Thomas?
Thank you, Chair. Just to refer the committee, there was a briefing note on search without a warrant where both the domestic and the international law were canvassed. One of the issues that was raised here, particularly by the committee, was the impact of a fairly recent judgment, the Minister for Safety and Security versus Van der Merwe and others, and the question of how that would impact on search and seizure without a warrant. And in the briefing note, you'll see, and that's on pages 4 and 5, that's quite a novel question, because that particular case was only decided this year. And that is the genesis for the amendment that has just been mentioned, that a SARS official must, before carrying out a search, inform the owner, etc., on page 13 of the track changes. That, as I say, is it a novel proposal? There's nothing like that in any of the existing legislation. But it seems to fit in with the spirit of what the Constitutional Court found in that particular case. And that is why the change is recommended. As far as a post-seizure review is concerned, any aggrieved person can take that on review to the courts. Now, there has been a suggestion that there should be an automatic referral to the courts. Now, with respect to the people who are making that suggestion, there's a difficulty with that, which is simply that that means everybody needs to be involved in a court case, whether they in fact wish to dispute the search without a warrant or not. Because if you're doing a search without a warrant, normally it's done on a, sorry, if you're doing a search with a warrant, you normally apply on an ex parte basis. In other words, only the one party goes to the judge, puts the documents in front of the judge or the magistrate, and you then get your warrant or not. Once the warrant has been executed, clearly both parties have to be heard. So by making it automatic, you don't in fact advance the situation at all, and it would be pretty novel if you consider the other pieces of legislation that in fact have search and without a warrant. I would also add that if you have a look at the international comparison, a number of countries would have great difficulty in understanding why we're having this problem at all, because their powers to enter business premises pretty much permit you to inspect the premises without any notice whatsoever, whereas we are much stricter about it. So on the international spectrum, we're already pretty strict about our search without a warrant. The question of privilege was dealt with on page 5 of our initial response document, and the recommendation was there that we not insert it in this bill at this time, that it's something that would require two things. Further consideration, because there are a bunch of duties that are imposed on officers of the court which would not be imposed on accountants and others. So you need to consider that question. The Australians issued quite a lengthy discussion paper with the pros and the cons of that, and they still haven't come to a conclusion on it yet, at least not as far as I'm aware when I last checked. The other point to be made is if you were to extend legal privilege to others, you would be extending it potentially to whom? Are they regulated? By whom? How? And that was another difficulty. The proposal was, in fact, to defer that to the Regulation of Tax Practitioners Bill, where we then have a consistent framework for the regulation of tax practitioners. And then if it was appropriate to extend privilege, you could extend it to a defined group. Interestingly enough, if I went and looked at the comments back at the time that we last released the Regulation of Tax Practitioners Bill, that was in 2008, and in fact that was the position that was supported by those people who were pushing for privilege at that time. So I think I'll leave it at that point.
Yes, any comment, Honourable Members? But before, let me just, from where I'm sitting, I think this is one of the bills that this committee, I can safely say, applied its mind on, extensively so. And just like in any other bills, the amendments that have been made, probably we shouldn't, as a committee, expect that everybody will be satisfied in terms of their submissions. From where I'm sitting, I think lots of amendments have been actually factored in to accommodate the concerns that were raised by all the stakeholders. And my sense is why we amend bills is precisely because in practice we'll continue to see other things that we need to attend to. And it doesn't have to be National Treasury or SARS or anybody. The committee itself can initiate an amendment for a piece of legislation. So I would say, with all the inputs and recorded amendments that we've seen and we still have, I think to a very large extent this committee has applied its mind effectively on this piece of legislation. It will be very, very, very important that we take our work ensure that we are also an enabling institution for those who are supposed to implement the laws to be applicable also, or to be implementable. Yes, on the warrantless search and seizure, I think to a very large extent there is an accommodation. And given the fact that, and I think we did get a report at some point here in the committee to say, look, this is not the first time that we're dealing with these issues. There are such practices elsewhere. But it is our responsibility also as a committee and public representatives to ensure that the rights of citizens and individuals are not violated willy-nilly at the end of the day. But more than anything else, I think we should also think about the integrity of the institution that ensures that the resources of this country are mobilized to achieve the expectations of the populace at the end of the day. Now, such a piece of a legislation would want also to believe that those who implement it would not do it in such a way that it impacts on the integrity and the standing of such an institution, which up to now has held its moral high ground out there in the public domain. So I thought I should just make this comment as the honorable members deliberate on this particular piece of legislation. Any other comments? Honorable George.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would echo your sentiments in that we do need to make sure that SARS can operate effectively, and I do think that there's been a lot of discussion and accommodation. Obviously, again, it would be necessary for us to reserve our position. However, having said that, I do believe that most of the concerns that have been raised have actually been addressed. So we will take it forward in that way. Thank you, Chair.
Can Honourable Fund, Nick?
Yeah, the Chairperson, yes, same problem. I would have, you know, in the interest of the country, I will say let's support it now. I would have loved to have another 3-4 months just to look really at the Ombudsman, really to the international arena, what they're doing with search warrants and all that, just to equip us as a committee a little bit better. I don't think, you know, it make no mistake, this is a real piece of legislation. And, you know, we must commend the Treasury and especially SARS for that, and I think it's about time that it happens. But I hope we do not make a mistake, that we filter or approve things here that should not have been approved now. Maybe we can come back later. But generally speaking, I think it is in the interest of the country that we do give preference to this piece of legislation.
Thank you. Honorable Mutato?
Chair, they've already moved it. I can second.
Oh, okay. So with that and those comments, I hope we are not just leaving it in the hands of SARS, a national treasury, in terms of the implementation. Of course, the administration is with you. Parliament will also be paying particular interest on how the developments unfold, and particularly within the regulation itself, because the regulations also tell us what else could be used as a mitigating factor for the concerns that have been raised. No piece of legislation can be perfect, but we should commend National Treasury and SARS in this particular instance for coming up with this piece of legislation. And it has been moved and seconded. Can I put it on record? Honorable members, the Standing Committee on Finance, having considered and examined the Tax Administration Bill, B11-2011, Section 75, referred to it and classified by JTM as Section 75 bill, report the bill with amendments. This is the amended version. The amendments are here. Agreed?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Your job is to give me a pen. Okay, honorable members, thank you very much. I think the real work now is in the implementation and the oversight from our side as Parliament. We'll be watching you very carefully and closely. But it is in the interest of the country that we don't delay this piece of legislation. And I want to thank everybody for the good work that we always put into our efforts, or the efforts we put into the work that we're supposed to do. Let me also take this opportunity to inform honorable members that as last week we did have some sort of a small farewell ceremony for honorable Spidla, who's now in KZN. The majority party has forwarded the name of Honorable Des Van Rooyen to be the whip of our committee. It has been circulated, I'm told, I had this morning. So we welcome your appointment, and hopefully you'll be able to whip us in line all the time. Yeah. Thank you, Honorable Member.
Okay.